Hello and welcome. I'm so glad you're here because today we are diving into one of the most mark-rich topics in your entire GCSE chemistry course, Chemical Changes, Topic 4.4. Whether you're revising for AQA, EdXL, or OCR, this topic comes up again and again, and the good news is that once you really understand it, the marks start to feel almost automatic. So here's what we're covering today: the reactivity series and displacement reactions, how metals are extracted from their ores, acid-base reactions and the pH scale, and then the big one, electrolysis. We'll also go through the exam tips that examiners wish every student knew, and I'll finish with a quick-fire quiz so you can test yourself. Grab a pen because you'll want to jot a few things down. Let's go. Let's start with the reactivity series. This is essentially a league table of metals, ranked from most reactive at the top to least reactive at the bottom. The order you need to know is potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, carbon, and yes, carbon is a non-metal, but it sits here as a reference point. Then zinc, iron, tin, lead, hydrogen, another non-metal reference. And finally, copper, silver, gold, and platinum. A great mnemonic to remember this is, "Please stop calling me a clever zebra. I like horses. Clearly stupid gold plonker." The first letter of each word gives you P for potassium, S for sodium, C for calcium, M for magnesium, A for aluminium, C for carbon, Z for zinc, I for iron, L for lead, H for hydrogen, C for copper, S for silver, G for gold, P for platinum. Write that down. It is genuinely useful. Now, why does the reactivity series matter? Because it lets you predict displacement reactions. The rule is simple. A more reactive metal will displace a less reactive metal from its compound. So if you drop iron into copper sulfate solution, iron is higher in the reactivity series than copper. So iron displaces copper, the iron goes into solution as iron sulfate, and copper metal is deposited. You'd actually see the solution change color from blue to pale green, and a reddish-brown solid of copper forms on the iron. Examiners love asking you to predict whether a displacement reaction will occur. Just check the reactivity series and you have your answer. Now let's talk about metal extraction. The method used to extract a metal from its ore depends entirely on where that metal sits in the reactivity series. Metals below carbon, that's zinc, iron, tin, lead, copper, can be extracted by reduction with carbon. You heat the metal oxide with carbon, and the carbon reduces the metal oxide to the metal. Carbon is oxidized to carbon dioxide in the process. This is what happens in a blast furnace when we extract iron from iron oxide. But here's the key point. Metals above carbon in the reactivity series, potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum, are too reactive to be extracted by carbon. They have to be extracted by electrolysis, which is more expensive. This is why aluminum costs more to produce than iron, even though aluminum is actually more abundant in the Earth's crust. Gold and platinum, right at the bottom of the reactivity series, are so unreactive that they occur naturally as the pure metal, no extraction needed at all. Now, a crucial concept here is redox. Reduction and oxidation always happen together. That's why we call it redox. In terms of oxygen, oxidation is gaining oxygen, reduction is losing oxygen. In terms of electrons, and this is the higher tier definition, oxidation is loss of electrons, reduction is gain of electrons. The memory trick is OIL-RIG, oxidation is loss, reduction is gain of electrons. So when carbon reduces iron oxide in the blast furnace, the iron oxide loses oxygen. It is reduced. The carbon gains oxygen to form carbon dioxide. It is oxidized. Carbon is the reducing agent because it causes the reduction of the iron oxide. Moving on to acids and bases. An acid is a substance that produces hydrogen ions, H+ in solution. An alkali is a substance that produces hydroxide ions, OH- in solution. When an acid reacts with an alkali, the hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions combine to form water. This is neutralization. The general equation is acid plus base gives salt plus water. The pH scale runs from 0 to 14. pH 7 is neutral, pure water. Below 7 is acidic, above 7 is alkaline. A strong acid like hydrochloric acid has a pH close to 0. A strong alkali like sodium hydroxide has a pH close to 14. The pH scale is logarithmic, so pH 3 is 10 times more acidic than pH 4 and 100 times more acidic than pH 5. Examiners do test this, so make sure you understand that each unit on the pH scale represents a tenfold change in hydrogen ion concentration. When naming salts from neutralization reactions, the first part of the salt name comes from the metal in the base, and the second part comes from the acid. Hydrochloric acid always makes chloride salts. Sulfuric acid makes sulfate salts. Nitric acid makes nitrate salts. So hydrochloric acid plus sodium hydroxide gives sodium chloride in water. Sulfuric acid plus copper oxide gives copper sulfate in water. Now for electrolysis, and this is where a lot of marks are available, so pay close attention. Electrolysis is the decomposition of an ionic compound, either molten or in solution, using electricity. The compound being broken down is called the electrolyte. Positive ions, cations, move to the negative electrode, which is called the cathode. Negative ions, anions, move to the positive electrode, which is called the anode. At the cathode, positive ions gain electrons, they are reduced. At the anode, negative ions lose electrons, they are oxidized. Remember, cathode is reduction, anode is oxidation. Another mnemonic, an ox, red cat, anode, oxidation, reduction, cathode. Now here's the critical distinction that trips up so many students. Molten versus aqueous electrolytes. If the electrolyte is molten, meaning it's been melted, there's only one type of positive ion and one type of negative ion present. So the products are straightforward. Molten lead bromide, for example, at the cathode, lead ions gain electrons to form lead metal. At the anode, bromide ions lose electrons to form bromine gas. But if the electrolyte is aqueous, dissolved in water, then water molecules are also present, and water can produce hydrogen ions and hydroxide ions. This means there's competition at each electrode. At the cathode of an aqueous solution, if the metal ion is below hydrogen in the reactivity series, like copper, then the metal is deposited. If the metal ion is above hydrogen, like sodium, then hydrogen gas is produced instead because it's easier to discharge. At the anode of an aqueous solution, if there are halide ions present, chloride, bromide, iodide, in high concentration, then the halogen gas is produced. If there are no halide ions, or they're in low concentration, then oxygen gas is produced from the discharge of hydroxide ions from water. So for aqueous sodium chloride, at the cathode, hydrogen gas is produced. At the anode, chlorine gas is produced. The solution left behind becomes sodium hydroxide. For aqueous copper sulfate, at the cathode, copper metal is deposited. At the anode, oxygen gas is produced. You also need to be able to write half equations. These show what happens at each electrode. At the cathode for copper, Cu2 plus plus 2 electrons gives Cu. At the anode for chlorine, 2Cl minus gives Cl2 plus 2 electrons. Make sure your half equations are balanced. The number of electrons must match on both sides when you combine them. Right, let's talk about how to actually get the marks in the exam. First, always check whether the electrolyte is molten or aqueous before you predict products. This is the single most common mistake in electrolysis questions. If the question says molten, the products are simple, just the ions of the compound. If it says aqueous or solution, you need to think about the competition with water. Second, when writing half equations, always check they're balanced. Count the charges on both sides, they must be equal. A half equation with unbalanced charges will not earn the mark. Third, in neutralization questions, make sure you name the salt correctly. The acid determines the anion, hydrochloric gives chloride, sulfuric gives sulfate, nitric gives nitrate. The base determines the cation. Fourth, the command word explain requires you to say why something happens, not just what happens. Use the word because to force yourself to give a reason. For example, don't just write copper is deposited at the cathode. Write copper is deposited at the cathode because copper ions gain electrons and are reduced, and copper is below hydrogen in the reactivity series, so it is preferentially discharged. Fifth for six, mark questions, examiners are looking for a logical, well-structured response that covers multiple marking points. Plan your answer before you write it. A good structure is state the principle, apply it to the specific context, give the equation or half equation, and explain the observation. They always include state symbols and full equations if the question asks for them. S for solid, L for liquid, Grm for gas, AQ for aqueous. Forgetting state symbols is a very common way to lose a mark. Okay, time to test yourself. I'll ask the question, give you a few seconds, then give the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the product at the cathode when aqueous copper sulfate is electrolyzed? Copper metal. Question two, what is the half equation for the formation of chlorine at the anode?
2Cl minus give Cl2 plus 2 électrons.
Question three, which metals must be extracted by electrolysis rather than by carbon reduction? Metals above carbon in the reactivity series, potassium, sodium, calcium, magnesium, aluminum. Question four, what does Weyl-Rigg stand for? Oxidation is loss, reduction is gain of electrons. Question five, if iron is added to copper sulfate solution, what happens and why? A displacement reaction occurs. Iron is more reactive than copper, so iron displaces copper from the solution. The solution turns from blue to pale green, and a reddish-brown copper solid forms. Let's wrap up with the five things you absolutely must know for the exam. 1. Memorize the reactivity series. Use the mnemonic, please stop calling me a clever zebra, I like horses, clearly stupid gold plonker. 2. Metals above carbon are extracted by electrolysis. Metals below carbon are extracted by carbon reduction. 3. Weyl-Rigg, oxidation, is loss, reduction is gain of electrons. 4. For electrolysis, always check molten versus aqueous. Aqueous means competition with water at the electrodes. 5. Neutralization, acid plus base gives salt plus water. The acid names the anion of the salt. You've got this. Chemical changes is one of those topics where the marks are very accessible once you know the rules, and now you do. Go and practice those half equations, test yourself on the reactivity series, and you'll be picking up marks with confidence in the exam. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.